not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You have made me full of joy and of assurance. What does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because Peter explains it here in verse 37. He says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, for he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today." In other words, David said, David wrote, "You will not leave my soul in the Hades," there is the place of the dead, "nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Guess where David's body is? It's in a tomb. It's nothing but bones now. It's old and corrupted and nasty. Why? Because he wasn't writing this about himself. He was writing it about this Jesus, who was the Jesus of Nazareth Peter's telling you about. Verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body," that is, one of David's descendants, "according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to set him on a throne. He foresees this, speaks concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, nor was his flesh to see corruption." Here you go. Peter explains it for you. David didn't write this about him. He wrote it about Jesus because God, clear back in David's day, planned on Jesus dying, being punished for your sin, not his, for your sin, and coming back to life. God had planned it all out. You see, this is what it means. Before God created the entire universe, God looked and saw you. His love for you was so great that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. Because you're a sinner. You may not think you are, but you are. Have you ever thought something you shouldn't have thought? You ever did something you shouldn't have did? You ever said something you shouldn't have said? We all have. We're all guilty before God. Because of the guilt that we have, Jesus Christ came. What does that mean that you should do? Well, let's look and see what they did. That might be a good clue for us. Look down at verse 37. Peter, he gets a rant and a raven all the way through this, talking about who this Jesus is. The fact that he died and came back to life for you. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Now, don't get in mind that since they had swords and spears back then, that Peter, he whipped out his sword real quick and stabbed him in the heart. That's not what took place. See, when God's word affects you, when you feel all of a sudden, when you hear God's word, the guilt and the shame of your sin, it's almost as if someone has pierced you right in the chest. You know that feeling, don't you? Remember last time you had your anniversary and you forgot all about it? Things were busy at work or just life was there and you got up that morning and your wife gave you a kiss and said, "Happy anniversary, honey." You know what that feeling is now, don't you? You just couldn't believe what a rotten person you are. Didn't even think about it. And so you do plan B. Happy anniversary. I was planning on taking you out anywhere you wanted today. Buy you anything you wanted today. Whatever, get me out of hot water today. That's what you were doing, wasn't it? Why? Because you were guilty. You're bad. When God's word strikes your heart, you have a response that you have to make. See, God's word works in such a way that it will have an effect on your life. Rather, you'll be held accountable for it and stand guilty before God, or whether you hear God's word and do something about it. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles there, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" When we feel that way, we should ask God, "What should I do?" And the answer here is this. Peter says, looks at them and says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, some confusion is brought here. If we don't look at any other scripture in the Bible, it looks like in order to be forgiven for what they did, that they have to tell God they're sorry for their sin, and then they have to be dunked under water. Well, we have the rest of Scripture, which shows us clearly that salvation is by faith, and that the baptism is an outward testimony of it. It's hard for us because our culture in America doesn't think that way, but it was a signification that they were committed to God, that they were putting aside their own life, that they were committing themselves to the one true God, that they recognized their sinfulness and their guilt before God. There was nothing they could do. They couldn't do a bunch of good works because He's a holy God. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and came back to life to pay the penalty for them. Well, it's kind of nice when you have somebody pay something for you, isn't it? And guess what? If they paid for it for you, it's a gift, isn't it? Some of you this morning have purchased gifts for each other, for your parents or for your children, as a matter of celebration and tradition at Easter time. Some of you too cheap, shame on you. You gave them the gift, and then I remember what those words were right out of your mouth as soon as you gave it to them. "That'll be $20, please." That's not a gift, is it? Maybe they got a whopper of a deal, or you're going to make a whopper load of money depending on what you bought them. That's not a gift. Christ died for our sins. It's a free gift from God. He's already paid a debt we could never pay. Well, think about this. Think of it this way. I come over to your house this afternoon and I murder one of your family members. Not one of the ones you don't like, but one of the ones you do like. I murder them. Can I mow your yard enough times to make up for it? No. Can I wash your car enough times to make up for it? No. In fact, if I killed myself, that still wouldn't make up for it, would it? You would hate me forever, wouldn't you? Full well. Because you know what? I killed someone you loved. It doesn't matter. If I gave you $1 million, it wouldn't make up from the fact that I stole the life of that person that you absolutely love. You, how could we, sinful beings, think we could do enough good works to get ourselves into heaven? We can't. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. When we get to heaven, we can't boast. Only in that God was gracious to us. He says, repent, to turn from your sin, and being baptized was the symbol of them converting over to following Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you also, you might put in there, will receive this Holy Spirit. When we hear God's word and it cuts us to the heart, we should have the right response, which is, what should I do, Lord? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know what to do? Well, it says right here, you need to turn from your sinful life and you need to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Let me tell it to you this way. I was really, really ripe old age of 7 when I understood that I was guilty before God as a sinner. the bad things I had done. Because of the bad things I have done, I could not go to heaven. The Bible says if I break God's law, even in one point, I'm guilty as a lawbreaker. God hates sin. He cannot allow sin into heaven because God is perfect and pure. He cannot have sin. He hates sin. Well, God hates sin, and He is a just God and must punish sin. Therefore, I was under the hand of God's punishment. I would, when I died at that point, go to hell. Why? Because I was guilty before God. And the only true judgment, justice to it, is for me to spend all of eternity in eternal punishment. That's why I deserved. However, my parents and my Sunday school teachers were loving enough to tell me, well, I'm telling you, that God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for me, so I don't have to have that punishment. Jesus took it upon Himself. He died for my sins, was buried, and came back to life 3 days later, demonstrating that He is God. He did do what He said He would do, pay the penalty for my sin. And all He asks is that instead of looking to me, I look to Him. I accept His free gift. At the ripe old age of 7, I said, "Dear Lord, forgive me for my sins. I believe Jesus died on the cross and came back to life for me. Please forgive me. Please save me." There was trumpets heard everywhere. No, that didn't happen. It didn't need to happen. I had God's promise. For God so loved me so much that He sent His one and only Son, that if I believed in Him, if I put my trust in Him, I will not face eternal condemnation, but I'll have everlasting life. Jesus says, whoever puts their faith in me has everlasting life. Oh, I tell you a secret, I will never die. My old body will go away and pass away, but I will never die. I will live forever in heaven. I have that promise. If you're here this morning, on this Easter morning, a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, if you have not been raised to life spiritually by placing your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out. I tell you, I am free. Free from that fear of going to hell. Because I have that assurance of going to heaven. Not only that, but I have a relationship with my Lord and Savior that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you will never know. I can't even explain it to you. You know, I could be up here talking at the same time and begging God that you understand His Word. And I know that He hears me. Do you have that kind of relationship? That you can go to God at any time and ask and see His hand at work? Do you have that kind of close relationship with God? This day is Easter. Resurrection Sunday, probably the best name for it. What purpose does it? Whatever does it mean? It means for me and all of you that have Jesus as your Savior, we have eternal life. We're going to heaven. I urge you, if you don't know this gift, as we sing, to come forward. I would love to show how you can be for certain that you're going to heaven. Today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart against God. These were cut to the heart. If God is working on your heart, you'd be like these that heard and wanted to know what to do. Don't be like those who are stiff-necked, stubborn, don't care, don't want to hear it, and only hear because someone made you come. For you'll leave here accountable for having heard the gospel. By rejecting it, you'll pay the consequence. Maybe some degree now, but certainly in eternity. Heavenly Father, I ask, I beg that you will work your heart in each one of us. Cut us to the heart with your word. Father, I ask that you would help us, that we who are saved will rejoice in what you've done for us, knowing what this means, And then, Father, for any here that don't know you as their Savior, that they will indeed ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, I pray that you would work that way today in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.